Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we are continuing in the Sermon on the Mount and continuing the theme of judgment as Jesus has been going over this. We've been going over it now for a number of weeks, although he's covered it all in one sitting. That's what we must do, I think, as we consider these things, to consider them properly. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Robert Frost. He's a very famous American poet that lived in the later half of the 19th century and the over half of the 20th century. He was actually first published in England, but he had a poem that goes somewhat well with what we're discussing this evening. It's a very familiar poem in the States, and as I read it, you may recognize it, although you may not have known that it was Robert Frost who wrote it. It is called The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. In that poem, he's looking at two roads in a wood, and he's trying to consider which one to walk upon. And as he considers, he chooses the road that is less traveled. He chooses the road that fewer people have gone upon. He thinks that will be a better road. Robert Frost, to my knowledge, was not a Christian, but that poem gives us a good understanding of something that Jesus speaks about. It kind of gives us a good illustration of it. Each and every person that walks upon this earth is presented with two roads. There are two roads, and one is very highly traveled. One is traveled every day by people you see all of the time. And the other is not very well traveled at all. It is not a well-worn path. And Jesus presents these two paths to us and says, you should be walking one path and not the other. And so we're going to consider these this evening. Verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, as we consider these things, we have to consider what Jesus has been speaking about throughout this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. If you recall, Jesus had been speaking about judgment, and that judgment is a heart matter. So often throughout the sermon, Jesus has been showing us that what we thought of as religion, especially concerning the Pharisees, a list of rules to follow, that actually is not religion. That is Phariseeism, it's legalism. And that is actually part of the broad road that Jesus is speaking about here. But to gain entrance into heaven, you have to have a better righteousness than that. And that is based upon the heart. Because you may do what looks like a good deed, but in reality, in God's eyes, it's not a good deed because it was done for the wrong reasons. The heart wasn't right before God. And there's only one way that the heart can be right before God, and that is being on the narrow path. That is being born again. That is being right with Christ. And so he's speaking about these things, and he's speaking about how everything we do is flowing from the heart. And he comes to judgment, and we spoke about this for a few weeks now, about how we ought to not be condemning others because we deserve condemnation. And that we ought not to be looking at them in that way. But when we see someone sinning, when we see someone in error, we approach them after first looking at ourselves And then approaching them as Jesus would approach them for one of two reasons. Either bringing them to Christ, showing them Christ and their need of salvation, or reconciling them to Christ if they are a Christian, restoring that fellowship. And so he speaks about these things. Verses 1 through 5, that's how we are to judge and how we're not to judge others. In verse 6, he's talking about judgment and how we're not to give it over to others. How we're not to say, to allow others to judge those that should not be judged by them. A Christian should not be judged by the world. Why? Not because they're better, but because their sin has already been judged in Christ. That judgment is reserved for God, not reserved for those that know Him not. In verses 7 through 11, what is he speaking about? He's speaking about judgment. He's speaking about how do we judge what's right for our lives? Well, we go to the Lord. We ask Him for the proper things. And even though sometimes we ask Him for something we think is good, He's going to reserve the right to give it to us or not. And we also ought to ask with the Spirit. And then last week we considered how we are to judge our actions towards others. We ought to base it off of what we want, based off of what we think is good or bad. And we ought to treat others in that way, in that fashion. That we ought to be treating others in the way we want to be treated. And that takes judgment to know the difference between the two. And Jesus continues judgment here, and he's talking about judgment in a different sense. He's not completely opening a new topic. He's still asking us to judge, but he's asking us to judge what path we're walking on, what path we're going on in life, because we're each on a path. But that there, the people today, they think there's so many paths, but Jesus says there's two paths. And so that's what society does, isn't it? We ask the question, how many roads are there in life? Well, society says there's many. There's a lot of roads. And they all lead basically to the same wonderful place. They all go to a nice, whatever heaven you think it is. Whatever wonderful place you can think of. And you speak to someone who sees it this way. It's what we would consider the ecumenical movement. From a Christian perspective, they'll say, well, you know, if you're Catholic, that's all right. You believe in heaven, in that sense, it's okay. If you're Muslim, that's okay. If you're Hindu, that's okay. Even though these things are very different, that's all fine and good. The only people that aren't going to be there are the really awful people. They're the only people that aren't going to be in that wonderful place at the end. That's what society tells us. And that every road is okay. Every path that you walk on is okay, as long as you're sincere. As long as you truly believe it, that'll be all right. They look at people that are walking this narrow way, and they say, don't be so narrow. Don't be so egotistical to think that your way is the only way. Where did you come up with that idea? That's their mindset. The society would tell us that you really don't have to trouble yourself about these things. You don't have to concern yourself about these things because it's all going to work out in the end. And it really, who can know it anyway? But see, Jesus tells us something different. Jesus tells us specifically that there are two roads and that every single person in the world can be classified by these two roads. That you're on either one road or you're on the other road. You're either on the broad road that leads to destruction or you're on the narrow road that leads to life. Most people are on the broad road, according to him. Very few people are on the narrow road, according to Christ. Jesus says in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So not only does Jesus state that there are two roads, he says one is leading to destruction, and then the other road is me, that I'm that road. I am the only way to the Father. So it's when you hear a Christian and they say there is no other way but Christ and there's no other way but His way, it's not because they think they're being egotistical. They're repeating what Christ said. You see, there are people that will say, well, Jesus is nice. Jesus is good. He's a good teacher. Well, Jesus said, I'm the way. And I am the only way. And every other way but my way, basically, they're all the same way. They're all leading to the same thing, and that is destruction. And so Jesus is telling us here to judge what path we're on. Which path are we on? You see, there's a path that he's been describing in the Sermon on the Mount. That path has been described about how we approach things from the heart. How we approach things as he approaches things. Are you on that path? Or are you on a different path? And so we have to examine what these paths are. The wide gate. You look at this in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. So there's this wide gate and a broad way. Well, if you think about ever entering into a field, as you walk through England, you cross many fields. It's always easier to enter a field through a wide gate, isn't it? One of those gates, you just undo the latch and you just push it open and you walk through, and as many people that are with you can go through without a problem. That's the idea here. It's a wide gate. It's a broad way. It's easy to enter. The gate is so wide, in fact, that every single human being on the planet Earth is in that way unless they leave it for the narrow way. You're born into that way. You probably didn't even realize that you went through the gate. But as soon as you started to take a breath, you were on the path. You were on the broad road. You had gone through the wide gate. There is no cost to this way. To the wide gate and the broad way, there's no cost to that. It doesn't cost you anything to be on that way. You're already on it. There's no fee to pay. There's no things that are asked of you. You can do whatever you'd like, just like anyone else can do whatever they'd like. You don't have to leave anybody behind, do you? Because they're all on the same path you are. So you don't have to worry about your loved ones, because they're on the same walk you're on. Most of the people you know are probably on that same path. And so you've entered with the flow of traffic or the direction of the stream, and you just kind of ride the river. My father-in-law once did I can't remember what he called it, but he had a fishing pole and a great big tube that he could have some drinks on, and he floated down the river and just cast his poles. He floated with the stream. And I thought, well, that's a lazy way to fish, isn't it? And you just kind of gently glide down the river. Well, that's exactly what happens to the people on the broad road. You're just going with the flow of life. You don't have to think about things. You don't have to worry about your decisions. You just go on. It's a comfortable way to travel, isn't it? You don't have to concern yourself with what's right or wrong. You don't have to concern yourself with being upset with someone else. You don't have to be upset, be worried about overcrowding, because there's so many lanes. There's so many. The broad road is so wide that everyone fits on it comfortably. It's to the point where you don't even realize you're on a road. You're just going along. It's smooth. It's straight. There's no veering off of the broad road. It's as straight as you can be. You can change lanes anytime you want. It's not like the motorway where you have to wait for a clear spot. No, you can just go from this lane to this lane. You can be in the fast lane. We've all known people that are in the fast lane in life. They're just going after it. Whether it's they're going after money or they're going after enjoyment, and whatever gets in their way, they just move it out of their way because they're going to enjoy life to the fullest. Or you can be in the slow lane. You can just take your time and enjoy life. Enjoy the comforts that you've earned. The idea of stopping and smelling the roses. And just saying, wow, this is nice. I'm going to have a nice meal. I'm going to enjoy a sunset. I'm going to enjoy whatever comfort it might be. And you look around and everyone else is doing the same thing you're doing. All of the companions you know, they're on the same road. And they're all doing similar things. So you feel like you fit in. So in that sense, it's also comfortable. You don't have to feel lonely because your neighbor across the street is doing the same thing you're doing. The folks down the street are doing the same thing you're doing. And so you feel like you're just part of the crowd, and that's a comforting feeling. And there's no restrictions on your behavior. So, I mean, society today will tell us that if what you're doing doesn't harm anybody else, well, then go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter if some people think it's right or wrong. If it's the common phrase in the States is a harmless crime or a victimless crime. And that's okay. You can go ahead and do those victimless crimes because it doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, see, God says something different, but that doesn't make any difference. That's the idea on the broad road. Yeah, well, what you say is right, and what I say is right, and what the other person says is right. It doesn't matter that they all contradict one another. It's okay because we're all going in the same direction. Unfortunately, the broad road has a destination. Unfortunately, it is going somewhere specific. Its destination is destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. It's an eternal destruction. Now, that doesn't mean annihilation, meaning that you don't think that you don't exist anymore. No, it's an eternity of torment. It's an eternity knowing that the other path was before you. Knowing that you saw it while you were on that broad road. And you passed it by. You didn't think it was worth your time. Knowing that God is real and you can't have any part in Him. Knowing that heaven is real and you will never be there. The narrow path was real. And you never stepped foot in it. And it's eternal torment. And you know, when you're on the broad road, you really don't have to worry that much, though. Because you don't really see the destination. Because there's so many distractions. There's so many things along the roadside that just take your mind off of where you're going. I remember driving through Missouri, and Missouri may be a beautiful state, but I couldn't tell you if it's a beautiful state or not. Because along the side of the road, there are billboards every 50 feet. And they're constant for hundreds of miles. There's billboards telling you at this exit, this junction to get off and do this, and this junction to get off and do this. And if you want this, you can do it at this junction. Well, I don't know what Missouri looks like because of all the billboards. Because I decided I was never taking the time to get off the highway. I wanted to get to my destination. But you see, that's the way life is people want to distract you from the destination that you have when you're on the broad road. Because the destination isn't pleasant. And so all of a sudden we'll convince ourselves of other things. We'll convince ourselves that, well, this is fun for the moment. And that's all I have to think about. I don't have to think about the future. I don't have to think about what happens when I die. Well, we all go to the same place. Or none of us will have existence after we're dead. And we'll convince ourselves of these things. To the point where as you're walking that broad road, you might hear some things. You might hear those people say, well, the Bible might say certain things about the path we're traveling, but don't worry about it. It's an old book. It doesn't matter for today. It doesn't have any relevance. Don't believe the Bible when it says the wages of sin is death. Sin's not even real. Doing things wrong, well, who makes the decision between right and wrong? You might have done some wrong things, but your good will outweigh the bad things if there really is a God. You hear these things constantly in life when you speak to people. Don't buy the idea that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't buy the idea that you have to walk a narrow path. Those things aren't real. Don't buy the idea that you must be born again. That you have to look to someone else. People that believe that, they're just a bunch of freaks. Those are things you commonly hear on the broad path. Oh, Jesus was a good teacher, but don't go the whole hog into that. Those people are fanatics. He said some really good things that will help us in life, but we just keep on going on. You know, he ended up dying anyway. These are things that are commonly said because people don't want to see their destination. They don't want to have to work at something because they're just going with the flow of things. They're going along that broad road, but unfortunately it leads to destruction. But Jesus says there's another way. He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, the straight gate and the narrow way is hard to find. It's not an easy situation. It's a very small gate. If you ever walk through the field, it's not one of those large gates. It's one of those kissing gates or one of those turnstiles that you only one person can go through at a time. You see, you cannot enter with your family. You can't enter with your friends. It's an individual situation between you and God, between you and Jesus Christ. You go through it on your own with Him, or you don't go through it at all. There are many that say they know the entrance to the road, that they know the entrance to the narrow way. But all they're doing is leading you to another lane on the broad road. There are religious groups throughout the world that will constantly say, this is the way. This is the way. But they're not pointing you to Jesus Christ. They're saying, well, it's Jesus Christ in this. Jesus Christ in this church. Or Jesus Christ in these rules. Or, well, you know, Jesus Christ is okay, but now it's Muhammad. Or Muhammad's okay, but it's also, you know, Hindu is great. And Buddha is great. And they're trying to tell you that this is the road to be on. But Jesus says there's only one way. And there's only one gate. over in John chapter 10. I've always loved this portion of scripture. Jesus says in John chapter 10 in verse 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That's Jesus Christ. That's the way. He is the gate. He is the way, and he is the companion on the way. He is all of those things because of who he is. Remember, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So either he is what he says he is. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to the Father. Or he is nobody, because you can't say somebody's a good teacher who claims to be the only way to heaven. And see, that's what makes it narrow. I don't make it narrow. I didn't choose to make this a narrow way. Jesus said it's a narrow way. He said it's a skinny path that you have to take. And you see, it's hard for people because they may be in the middle of the broad road. And there may be many lanes to cross before they can get to that narrow way. And as they're going, they're going to have to go against the flow. They're going to have to get out of that traffic. They're going to have to fight against it to reach the narrow way. And there will be people in their lives that say, "Oh, just keep going. Just stay on the path you're on. Don't worry about that. Don't be fussed about that. Just keep living your life the way you've been living it. You're a good person. There's no need to worry about that." But Jesus says there's two paths. One leads to destruction and one leads to life. It's not a popular way. There are few that find it. There are not a lot of travelers on this path. Most of the travelers are on the other road. Most of the travelers are on the other way. If you want to follow the crowd, then you're not following Christ. If you're following Christ, you're not following the crowd. And you may have few companions on that road. But those companions will be true companions. Because they know where they're going. They know where the other road leads. And they don't want to go back to the other road. Because they know it leads to destruction. You see that gate, it's a tight squeeze. When you go through that gate, you become a new creature. Your old self is left behind, and that's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing to own up to who you are, to how much failure you have in your life. And so when you read something like the Beatitudes, back at the beginning of chapter 5, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's somebody that's gone through the narrow gate. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's somebody that's gone through that narrow gate. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." See, you don't find these people on the broad road. They're on the narrow path. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They're not hungering and thirsting after the next pleasure, the next comfort, the next holiday. They're not hungering after those things. They're hungering after righteousness. They're thirsting after Christ. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Going down the broad road, you don't have to worry about those things. But going down the narrow path, going down the straight to the straight gate in the narrow way, you're going to be persecuted. It's a hard and narrow road that leads to life. It's not easy. Jesus constantly will tell you to count the cost, because your family may not want anything to do with you anymore. It was hard for me when I came to know the doctrines of grace, because what I was taught when the Lord saved me was a lot of fluff. The idea that people said, "Well, once saved, always saved." What they meant by that wasn't that Jesus keeps you and you will walk the narrow path. What they meant by that is, well, if you make a profession of Christ, that means you're saved, and it doesn't matter what else you do in the rest of your life. And I had family members who had made a profession for Christ, and for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 decades, There was no evidence that they were a Christian. They had not walked the narrow path. And once saved, always saved, the way I was taught it meant, well, they're Christians, and one day they're still going to be in heaven, and it's okay. But see, what Jesus is saying here is, that's not the idea. Because you're walking a hard path, and there is going to be things that reveal who you are as you walk that path. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean you're not going to fall. It's a hard path. You're going to stumble. You're going to skin your knee. You're going to struggle at times. But it's going to reveal that you're relying upon somebody beside yourself. And it's pointing to Christ. And that's not easy to lead, to go on that path when you know that other people that you love aren't on it with you. It's not an easy thing. But are you going to stay on the broad road to destruction because others are on the broad road to destruction? As my parents and others always said, are you going to jump off of a bridge because your friends jump off of a bridge? Are you going to do something so foolish just because everyone else is doing something so foolish? Well, that's a question we have to ask ourselves about the path we're walking in life. You'll be mocked. You'll be persecuted. It doesn't sound nice. The Beatitudes aren't the rosy picture that people always think about as a Christian. When you think about, I've known so many that will just act like they're all bubbly and there's nothing that happens that's difficult in life. Well, when blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's not a rosy picture. That's a hard task. And Jesus says, count the cost. Because when you're walking on the narrow way, your will is no longer yours. Because your will is conforming to His will. Because you're going where He wants you to go. Because the things that used to attract you aren't attracting you anymore. You're becoming His. He keeps the road. And the things that are on the road are there by His authority. Now, true, that's true of the broad road, but it's even more so of the narrow road. The circumstances that come into our life, those hard things that those potholes we're going to step in, those things we're going to stumble over, well, He's placed them there. And we have to trust that He's placed them there for our benefit. That's not easy. That's where so many will stumble and decide, this road isn't for me. There aren't many companions on the road. That's evidenced by the number here tonight. That's evidenced by, we were at a service down in Derbyshire yesterday, and there were 75, 80 people there. And I thought, wow, this is wonderful. But all of a sudden you realize that most of them have come from small chapels dotted throughout the nation. Because as you spoke to them, they, are you from this church? No, I'm from a church over in this county. We have 5 or 6 people. And this chapel over here, well, we have 10. And this place over here, we there's just a few of us. And we have to listen to sermons on the internet because we don't have enough money to have somebody come and preach for us. And you realize it's a narrow path with few companions. But the greatest companion is there. And that's Christ. And He's a companion that will never leave you. That will never step out of the way. He's there with you every step. And then with the greatest companion comes the greatest destination. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. Is that as we walk the path of life, there are two destinations. We're either going towards the one on the broad road, and that's destruction, or we're going towards the other, and that is life on the narrow way. And it's all based off of Him. So that destination, it won't ever end. When Jesus promises eternal life to those that trust Him, to those that believe Him, that have placed their life upon Him, that eternal life has started. It's begun. I'm not going to die. Now, my physical body may die, but as soon as my body takes its last breath, I'm in heaven with God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's a glorious thing. I have eternal life even today because of what Christ did for me. Now, so the question becomes, have you ever started a journey without knowing where it's going? Have you ever taken a holiday and said, I'm just going to drive, or I'm just going to fly somewhere. I'm going to go and just hand somebody some money, and then whatever ticket they give me, I'm going to go there. Well, there may be a few people in the world that do that, but the majority of us wouldn't think of it. wouldn't dream of it. We may say, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'm going to go to this area because it sounds fun, sounds interesting. We wouldn't just go somewhere, just start driving and end up somewhere and say, oh, this is a nice place. But that's the idea of what people live like. They walk down the path of life never considering where it's taking them. Never considering the destination, what's at the end. Are they walking towards destruction? Or are they walking towards life? The world will deceive you as to your destination. It will make it seem like you're going somewhere nice, when in reality your end is destruction. You know, we were coming back from Derbyshire last night, and we stopped at one of the rest stops, and we were having some not very healthy fast food as we're sitting there. And the boys were fascinated because they had a couple of these little gambling stations. And there was a man and a woman in the one gambling station, and they won. And they won a bunch of money. Our guess is £500 because it says £500 on the little machine. We think they won £500. And what they did is they collected their money in their little bag, and then they carried that money over to the other gambling station. And they started feeding the machines over there the money, thinking, well, we're going to win even more money. They never stopped to consider, what is the end of that? Is it more money? What's going to happen when you have more money? Well, eventually somebody else is going to have your money, whether because you're buying food or buying shelter or buying clothing or because you died. Somebody else is going to end up with it. It's going to do you no good when it comes to your final destination. But they were thrilled about it. They were deceived. Because those winnings are going to go just as if they had never won it. It's going to go right through their fingers. That's the broad road. But the narrow way, it's based upon the unbreakable Word of God. It's based upon God Almighty. He says if you trust Him, He'll save you. If you look to Him, He'll keep you. Enter in at the straight gate. Believe upon Christ. In Isaiah, it's fascinating to me how the scriptures fit together. Man couldn't do this by himself. In Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah is speaking in verses 3 through 10. And listen to how similar what he says is to who Jesus Christ is and what we've been talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's the way that that's Jesus Christ. The redeemed, how are they redeemed? They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so there are two roads in life. The one we've all started walking upon, the broad road with the wide gate that is leading to destruction. And then there's the straight gate, the narrow way. Think about the destination of those two paths, because it's black and white. You know, the world will tell you everything's gray. It's all a shade of gray. There's a little good and a little bad in everything. Jesus doesn't say that. He says it's very clear. There's two paths. There's two roads before you. There is the broad road. There is the narrow road. Which road are you upon? Judge which road you're living in. Judge the path you're treading upon. And then, if you are on the broad road, enter ye in at the straight gate. because you're going to destruction if you don't. Look to Christ. Look to Him, because there is no other way but Him. You've been on that path your whole life, and it's familiar, but look for that small entrance. And you'll know it when you see it, because it's Christ. You see, there's ways that people will twist the Scriptures to their own benefit. They think it's their own benefit, but it's their own destruction. But there's no way to twist what He says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You can't interpret that any other way. You can't interpret it, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You can't take that any other way than He says it. You can't make it into something else. Look at the path you're walking on. And even though the path, the narrow path, is skinny and it's rough, and you're going to have difficulties, count the true cost of both of those ways. It may not cost you much now to be on the broad path, but it will cost you everything in the end. Whereas the narrow path may cost you a lot. It may cost you friends, it may cost you family. It may cost you all kinds of things. But in the end, what do you gain? You gain Christ. Which way are you walking in? We need to judge that. Look to Christ. Take your hymnals, if you will, and turn to number 139.